Amen. I said amen. Lord, I know you always hear me when I pray, so I thank you for this moment. Let our eyes be open to see who you are and what you've called us to be and who you've called us to be in you. Let us see you better than we've ever seen you before. We thank you for this moment. This moment belongs to you and only you. Our focus is solely on you. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mark chapter 4, and it's really simple. I don't think that Jesus preached very long. Every time I read his message, look at your neighbor and tell him, get in them gospels. Come on, look at your other neighbor and tell him, get in them gospels. Listen, if you're not studying the gospels, you ain't studying nothing. And I'm just being honest with you. You can read Proverbs over and over again, but what gives Proverbs life is the life giver, which is Jesus. You can read whatever book you want to read in the Bible. God bless every book in the Bible because it's the holy written word of God. Amen? Amen. But the life, there's only one that said, I am the life. And his name is Jesus. Do you love him? Yes. Amen. Amen. And so I don't think he preached very long. When I read his messages and I read, his messages are not very long, but there are seeds that are being planted. And we're going to talk about a word, and we're going to see a word a couple times tonight that we don't use in our English dialect. A lot, but it's a word that we need to understand. It's the word perceive. Everybody say perceive. Perceive. Come on, say it again. Perceive. Perceive. It's also the long version of it is perception. How do you see a thing? Can you see deeper into a thing that somebody's saying to you? When somebody says something to you, can you see what they really mean beyond the surface? Everybody say beyond the surface. You know, the treasures, all treasures are beneath the surface. All treasures, you got to go deep to get them. Whether it's deep in some water or deep under the ground, they're never sitting out in the open. If they're sitting out in the open, everybody will have them. Huh? If even your treasures, your stuff that you treasure, amen. You ain't got it sitting out in the open. Why you lock your doors at night? Keep your windows locked. And some people got safes in their houses. Why you got a bank account? Just put all your money on the driveway right there. Just stack it right there. Stack all your treasure right there on the open. Why is it somewhere deep off? Because it's in a special place. So that everybody can't get to it. Just any old person just walk up and grab your treasure. Perception. But before we get to perception, before we talk about our perceiving, I want to talk to you about how do you receive the seed. And really quick, I'm not going to be very long. Mark 4, he starts, and it began to teach by the seaside. There was gathering him a great multitude where he entered into a ship. So he entered the ship and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And the parables were stories explaining something. You would hear Jesus say a lot. If you're in the Gospels, you hear him say, it's like this, or it's as this. He's trying to explain. The kingdom of God is really way bigger than your mind can conceive. But he'll speak to you on terms that you understand so that you can kind of pick it up if you're paying attention. Are y'all understanding me? So now he's about it, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth in the earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some a hundredfold. Verse 9, and then he says something to them, and it's almost weird if you don't understand what he's saying. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Come on, touch him. Touch him real quick. Touch him. Come on, touch him. Okay. Can you hear me? If you hear me, say yeah.
Yeah.
He who has ears to hear. What are you talking about, Jesus? He who got ears to hear. Well, we all of us got ears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's trying to say something to you. Next scripture. And when he was alone, that's very important. They that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. In other words, listen, explain this to us. Explain to us what you are saying. I understand about the sower, and it's a cute little message that you preached today, but can you really break it down a little bit more? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's given to you. Listen to what he's saying. Unto you is given to know the mystery of God's way of doing things. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. I broke it down last week in camp meeting when I was saying those without and within. This is two different places. The kingdom of God is where? Within me. But if you're without, you won't understand. If you're outside of the kingdom, if you're living on the outside, if you're living on everything that's around you and your circumstances, it doesn't matter how good I explain it, you won't get it because you're outside. Wow. You without, you with the out. You're not with the in. Are y'all understanding me? You got to find yourself. And it's real quick, I got to get it before I get to the other part of it. Verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive. That's that word we were talking about, right? Seeing, they're going to see it, but they won't perceive it. And hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Lest at any given time, Pat, they'll be changed into what they're supposed to be. But why is it that we are not changed into everything we're supposed to be like we should? Maybe we are hearing and not perceiving. Maybe we can see it. Look at your Bible. You see your Bible? Like you see the, look at the words on the screen. Look. Read. Everybody read. Read. Okay, so cool. I don't need no more. I see that you see that. I can see that you see it with your eyes. But do you perceive what he's telling you about this? So now these three grounds, he's talking about the stony ground and the thorns and all these things. These are talking about your conditions to receive. Because the seed is always coming out. The sower is the Father. And he's always giving you something, always giving you a word, always giving you identity, always giving you direction. But are you receiving them? And if you do receive them, are they hitting good ground? I got a question for you and for me. Are we good ground? Wow. Ask yourself, say, am I good ground? Now don't get beside yourself and overthink yourself. Don't think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. Am I good ground? Say it again. So now the conditioning of my ground, anybody that knows anything about farming, and Jesus talked about farming so much because he was around a bunch of farmers. That's the way that they lived. Are y'all understanding me? So now he talked about farming. My daddy would tell me about my grandfather and how he would farm. And there's a conditioning that must be done to the ground. You must till and to get the ground worked up and get it ready for the seed. It really doesn't take long to plant the seed. And the seed will do what it's supposed to do when planted. The problem comes in with the ground. What kind of soil am I? Ask yourself right quick. What kind of soil am I? Am I the type of soil that will yield fruit? Or is every time a word comes, it gets choked? Or do I receive it like I'm happy, but then get offended and lose it? Listen, I gotta consider my ways. I gotta consider, you know, it's great, it's a great comparison calling ourselves soil because we're made from the dust of the earth. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And so the conditioning goes on, but the conditioning is not, the conditioning really doesn't happen when you come to church. It really happens on your everyday motion. Actually, every second of your day is conditioning. Uh-oh. Every moment that you live, every moment that you breathe is a conditioning. So what are you doing with your moments? Am I conditioning to receive the seed properly? Am I conditioning to be good ground so I can yield some 30? And then we're talking about levels, 30, 60, and 100. Am I conditioning myself? What am I taking in on a regular day-to-day basis? What am I listening to the most? What am I watching all the time? What is my conditioning? Am I good ground? You don't have to worry about the seed. Corinthians started talking about it. He said, he gives a seed, so the seed is going to come. But this ground that I am, this ground that I am, is my ground fertile enough to produce what I want? Oh, I'll produce what's wanted from me. So my conditioning. Everybody say conditioning. We're going to get to this perception in a minute because he said they can see, seeing they see, but they don't perceive. They don't go further. They don't really get what I'm saying. There are some things, listen, I'm going to show you something else. Can I show you something else real quick? Now, right after this, why didn't he finish talking about this? He goes and starts telling the parable again. Look at it. Look at it in verse, he said, verse 13, it said to him, know you not this parable? And he's talking to him again. He said, y'all don't know this parable? How will you know all the other parables? Then he goes on again. The sower sowed the word. And he goes, I don't want to read it right now because it's another thing. He goes into detail of the same parable to try to give them further detail, but they still got to have ears to hear and eyes to see and be able to proceed. The conditioning still must be there. Truth of the matter is, what Jesus really wants you to know about him as you and you as him and you together, right? What he really wants you to know? Can't nobody tell you that. You got to perceive this thing. Oh, y'all came here for me to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how to perceive. All right, Jesus said, Jesus asked him, we got to turn up. Jesus asked him and said, who do men say that I am? Anybody familiar with that? And some say you're a prophet. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, one of the other prophets. He said, but who you say? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He's talking about perception. Everybody say perception. But my conditioning comes before my perceiving. So are there some things that my apostle comes out and tells me sometimes that goes over my head, even though I shouted and said amen? Are there some deeper things and deeper places that the Holy Spirit is trying to take us, but because my conditioning is dull? That's another word Jesus used. He said dull. Everybody say dull. He said their hearts, their ears are dull because they've been conditioned to another language. See, in order to understand the language, I got to spend time with the language. Otherwise, it'll be dull to me. Otherwise, you could talk in that language all day long, but it won't mean a thing to me because I haven't been trained in that language. So it's a possibility that we hear the word and don't understand it. It's a possibility that we see the scriptures and we don't really see what Jesus is saying about our identity. Sometimes we can even get through the motions and being good Christians and doing all the right things, but not getting the results we're supposed to get. So my conditioning, the conditioning of the ground that I am, listen to what I'm saying to you. The conditioning of the ground that I am has to change. We have to up the ante on our conditioning. So I say, get in those gospels. Because we can't understand what's going on. We won't be able to perceive. We won't be able to really be everything we're supposed to be if we're still dull. Sometimes your word comes out. Matter of fact, I know for a fact that the Lord sends the word for the thing that you're dealing with. But if that thing that you're dealing with is still dealing with you after you done got the word, that means something that came up and choked that word in your life. It's not that the word don't have power to do what it's going to do. But if you're choking it, I mean, if any of us get choked, we won't be able to breathe life. So my conditioning. So it's possible. We'll go to Mark chapter 8, flip over. I won't be long at all. Because I'm getting it. I'm starting to understand that, when we come here, what I'm doing right now is throwing out seeds. I'm not growing trees for you. I ain't got no fruit. I ain't got no tree. I'm not coming here to give you no fruit. If I give you fruit, all you're going to do is eat that fruit and never know how to produce. Wow. See, Jesus' goal was not to do it all for you. He was to showing you how to do it. Do you notice that Jesus never really bucked himself up too much? Follow, look, I'm the Messiah. The Messiah's here. You never heard that much. Because he wants you to understand the works that I do, you can do them also. He said, I'm about to go to the Father, but you can still do it. Are y'all understanding me? And so now we're not here to get your manifestation for you. We're here to make you manifest. Come on, say, I am manifestation.
I am manifestation.
Come on, say, I am manifestation.
I am manifestation.
One more time, say, I am manifestation.
I am manifestation.
So I'm out here throwing out seeds. You know, and I said it a minute ago, and I'll say it again. It really doesn't take long to plant a seed. Boop. Anybody ever plant a flower? Plant it? No, you ain't never planted nothing around here. I ain't never planted nothing in my life. Anybody ever planted anything? It's anything. It's just anything. Amen. Make a little. Drop it in. Anybody ever grew a flower? No, you ain't grow no flower. You did not grow no flower. You planted a seed. Ah, see, Corey, they thought that. Yeah, I grew one. No, you didn't. No, you ain't grow that flower. You planted a seed, and you don't know how it happened. You just know that it happens. The Bible talks about we don't know how the bones grow in the womb. When we in the stomach, we don't know how that happens. But it happens. When the seed is in the ground, it does what it's supposed to do. You don't grow no flowers. You don't do that. That stuff comes out. You don't make fruit. You produce it. It comes out.
Right.
I'm out here tossing seeds. Ain't gonna take that long. What kind of ground is gonna land on?
Question.
What kind of ground is gonna land on? Question. Apostle teacher, what kind of ground is gonna land on? So we need to worry about nothing else. We be concerned about what kind of ground that this landing on. Because it doesn't matter how anointed the sower is if the ground is not prepared for that type of seed.
Yes. Come on.
Mark chapter 8. I'm going to teach you something about perception. And I think we'll skip down to verse. Let me just do some reading. In those days, the multitude, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called disciples unto him and said unto him, I have compassion on all the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting in their own houses, they will faint by the way, for the divers of them that came from far. And the disciples answered him and said, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7. He commanded the people to sit down. He took 7 loaves, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples to set before them. And they did set before them and before the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed them and commanded them to set them there before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. So now we got a few loaves, and we done fed how many? 4,000. Now, is that normal? We be reading it like it's normal, though. Well, look at Jesus. No. Understand what's going on. 4,000. And straightway he entered to the ship and the disciples and came to the post. So Jesus not making a big hoopla. It didn't say Jesus shouted and said, amen. It didn't say Jesus celebrated because the people ate. Straightway he went to the ship. We still doing what we got to do. This is supposed to be normal. This is supposed to happen on the regular. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven and tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he let them enter the ship again, depart on the other side. And the disciples had forgotten it. Now watch this, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. I know how they feel, because I didn't forget apostles' shoes. On a couple trips when I was younger, I wish I could multiply my shoes. I ain't had that gift at that time. Neither had they in the ship there more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now he's telling them, stop. Don't focus on what the Pharisees talking about, because it's going to grow in you. Don't focus. Don't beware of what they're saying to you, because it's going to grow on the inside of you. Listen. Jesus dropping them nuggets. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? They think Jesus talking to them about leavened bread because they forgot the bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said, now watch this, Jesus is going to start talking to us soon. Why reason ye because you have no bread? Then they go that word again. Perceive you not yet? You still don't understand? You still don't get it? You still don't see or perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your hearts yet hardened? Verse 18, having eyes, see you not. And having ears, hear you not? He asks the questions. Do you not remember when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments took you up? They said 12. He said, and when the seven among the 4,000, this means it's the second time we done it. Y'all see it? Y'all looking at this? He told them about the other time for the 5,000. Then he said, right here. And when the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took up? He said, they said seven. And he said, how is it that you don't understand? So now I got proof right here. That you can, everybody want all this glitz and glam and stuff to happen, but you can see that and still don't believe. You can see that and still not know who you are. You can see a miracle, a sign, and a wonder, and still not see who you are. Tell me the last time you saw somebody take five pieces of bread and feed 5,000 people. Not never. I know it's a double negative. Let me go. No, not only did you see it, but you served it. The disciples served it. They knew how many loaves they had. They know they ain't have enough. In other story, Philip said, how we 200 penny worth ain't enough. They know they ain't have enough. But Jesus, for some reason, get to breaking and they get to multiplying. And they get to multiplying and we don't run out. Not only do we don't even get to the last little scrap and the other person got a small plate at the end, right? You're in the full run out, right? No, you got 12 baskets left and 7 baskets left over and above. Sign and a wonder. You still don't believe. You still on the boat talking about we ain't got no bread. One loaf, 13 of y'all, we can get that popper. Now watch this. How is it that you do not understand? Now I want you to see something. I want you to see it well. And he cometh to Bethsaida. And I never understood it until I read this in context. Everybody say context. You cannot pick what part you want to understand and what part you want to take. You cannot make doctrines out of one part of the scripture without adding the whole scripture to it. If you don't have context, we learned this in school. They call them context clues, right? If you don't have context, you won't have contact. Listen to me well. You won't understand what's going on unless you keep things in context, all right? So I'm reading this in context, and he said, so now here we go. He coming to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. Now remember, he's still talking about seeing. You don't see. You remember that, right? They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Now, verse 23, I never noticed this. And I've been reading, I've read the gospel a few times, but I never really noticed this. I read today, and I noticed how Jesus did this. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Heal him, heal him. He took the blind man and said, come on, we got to get out of here. We got to get away from where we are to where we should be. And then I got him out of town now. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men walking as trees. So now here we go. He led the man out of town. He's a blind man. Led the man out of town, spit on him, laid hands on him, asked him if he could see. The man said, I'm better than I was. Right? But I still see men walking as trees. In other words, it's not really clear to me. I wondered for years. I read this and I wondered, well, Jesus, what happened? What happened, Jesus? You didn't put enough power in the first spit. You didn't put enough power in the first one. No, he's trying to show you something.
Come on.
I said, why you lay hands on him? Why he wasn't clear? And he said, see me walking the trees. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Second time, the second touch, he saw clear. There's some perception that we're not going far enough into in Jesus. Yeah, we sing that song, he touched me. But is he still touching you? Listen to what I'm saying. There's places that we see things in part. And we see things and we kind of get it, but we're not really all the way over to what Christ is calling for us to be because of our conditioning. Are y'all understanding me? And because of our placement. What town are you in? Jesus get the blind man and grabbed him by his hand. Didn't do the miracle in the town. Well, you would have thought, well, we need to do a miracle right here so everybody can see it. Right. Amen. Everybody say amen. Do the miracle right here in front of everybody, because if they see a miracle, surely they're going to change their mind. Well, we clearly know that don't happen either, because the disciples with Jesus all the time and still don't know who he is. So Jesus does it. He does this on purpose. He takes him out of town, lay hands on him twice to show the levels to this thing. Even when he was talking the other parable about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, he's talking about levels to this thing. Everybody say levels.
Yes.
And he says a strange thing. I'm almost done. He saw every man clearly. Watch this, verse 26. He sent him away to his house saying, listen what he says. Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. So Jesus is really saying, don't go back over there. Don't go into the town. Come on. I'm going to leave the seat with y'all, because I know we ain't getting too many amens tonight, so we're going. Don't go into the town. Don't go back over there where I led you out of. Don't go back into the town and don't tell it to the town. You know why? Because if you tell it to the town, they're not going to get it no way. If you ever try to witness somebody and they ain't really pick it up? Oh, no, forget witnessing. Then this is the worst one. You ever try to talk to one of your Christian friends about something the Lord told you, or something the Lord showed you, or something the Lord did for you, and they give you, oh, that's nice. Put a damper on. You thought you had the greatest revelation in the history of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's not. Hearing, they don't hear. And seeing, they can't perceive. So don't go back into that town. Don't go in that town and don't even tell nobody in that town, because they're not going to get it. But let's go deeper. What he's talking about you. There are places in your soul. There are places that you are allowing your soul to live that's keeping you blind. There are places, there are TV shows, there are books, there are songs, there are conversations, there are cultural understandings, there are places that we go that we're allowing our soul to live that's keeping us from perceiving who we really are. And Jesus is consistently trying to get us out of that town. Consistently trying to get us out of that place. And not only get us out of the place, but tell you, don't go back to that town. And don't try to go explain it to them. They're not going to get it. They're going to call you crazy. Listen, if ain't nobody never call you crazy, you ain't crazy enough. Listen what I'm trying to tell you. If ain't nobody tell you you tripping, you ain't perceiving. Guaranteed. When you really perceive what Jesus is trying to show you about you, they're going to think you tripping. Calm down, son. I'll be knowing it when I be preaching sometimes. You're going to sit down with that. I don't care. I perceive.
Amen.
I see who he called me to be.
Come on.
I see who he is in me.
Come on.
And the consistency of a thing is Jesus. That's what Jesus' message is. His message is who you are. Oh, it's not what to do. We learned that from Christianity. Do. You know, your do is not empowered without a be. I am empowers I will. Oh, yes. So identity comes first before the work. Are y'all understanding me? So he took him out of town real quick. I'm almost done. Took him out of town and said, don't go back. Don't go into town. And don't tell it to nobody in that town. Because the perception and the receiving is going to have to be on their own. Everybody say it's personal. Come on, say it's not a group effort. Come on, it's not a family effort. It's not a partnership effort. Everybody say it's personal. Come on, say it again, it's personal. Come on, say it again, it's personal. I know it's personal because I've sat in meetings and sat in situations where people were all around me and didn't catch what was going on. They couldn't perceive. I sit and I scream. I scream out. What's wrong with that boy? Don't worry about all that. Because I perceive the thing, and I'm not more special than anybody else. Listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. It ain't that somebody's more special. It's about a conditioning, being prepared to receive more than what you see on the surface. So when these seeds are thrown out, what kind of ground is it landing on? Listen to me well. When these seeds of truth and seeds of greatness and seeds of identity, that's what they are. What kind of ground is it landing on? Do we perceive? That's a good question. Are we really perceiving? Are we really understanding? Clearly you can see, but are you really seeing it? Then right after this, we go right now. I'm not going in there. I'm not going. I'm done. Right after this, the next part he goes into, and he says, verse 27, Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, and he asked disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? So now we back to this. He's trying to see if you really perceive it. I showed you what it looked like with this blind man. Now can you see? That's what he asked him. Now do you see? And they still started saying other stuff. Well, they say you one of the prophets. You ain't never seen. If I was Jesus, Jesus did better than me. If I was Jesus, you know you ain't never seen nothing like this. You know I ain't one of them other prophets. Because you ain't never seen nothing like this. Tell me when the last time you saw everybody get fed like that. You ain't never saw it. Perception. Jesus, listen, throughout these gospels, that's why I'm not even, there we go, close the book. I'm not even going much longer right now. Because this process is a after you leave here tonight process. Oh yeah. Yeah. See what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna instead of going to sleep on the TV, I'm gonna put the gospels on. And let the gospel of John play all the way through in my mind and in my ear, because my brain is always listening. Oh, yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. And you want to switch it up? Put Matthew on. What you going to watch? And who is it telling you to be? And do you perceive? Everything outside of Christ is trying to give you another identity. Don't ever forget that. Everything outside of Christ is trying to give you another identity. It's not about being what do we call it? They try to do this stuff to make us shy away. Holy roller. Man, no, not about all that. It's about the truth of who you really are. And everything that Jesus says over and over and over is like this, it's like this, and it's like this, and it's like this. He's telling you what you are like and who you are and wishing that you perceive. But I won't pick it up unless my conditioning is right. Listen. We're in another place now, and we're at another level now, and these things that used to work won't work anymore. These prayers that we used to pray that we thought were making us holy won't work anymore. Now, the whole creation, the whole creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. How long they gotta wait for you? How long are we going to make them wait? How long are we going to jump through our hurdles and do our things and do the things that we think is so spiritual and not be who we're supposed to be? Because we won't perceive. I learned something from Apostle. And I thought it was works, Doug. I thought it was works, but then I figured out it wasn't works. It just works. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, I went for years and I would see the man, and I never see him miss a day without spending some time with the Lord. And without, at least seeking the Lord, opening the scriptures, seeing what it's saying, praying to see what God is trying to say to him and opening the scriptures. But you know, how many of y'all have done that a lot? And sometimes you can do that out of ritual. You can do that out of ritual and don't hear nothing. Yeah. See, we don't want to be honest in the church. You can, Montreal, let me speak for me since y'all don't want to say it. You can do it without hearing nothing. You can do it without changing. You can do all that without manifesting something. Or your manifestation is not consistent enough. But I watched and I paid attention. And it wasn't for me to be holy enough to be acceptable to God, because God already loves me. Oh, yeah. Or it wasn't for me to do a bunch of duties to seem like I was so special, but it was changing my identity. And when I understood my identity, everything in me will flow out of me. And so this time put in on a regular basis wasn't for the preachers. I'm going to say that one again. That regiment ain't just for the preachers. This regiment of giving your all and setting everything else to the side for the sake of your identity in Christ, that's not just for the reverends or the prayer leaders. Or if I got a call, all y'all called. Is you here? Come on. You here? Are y'all here? Are you alive? Was you born? Then you was called. You was called the day you were birthed. Actually, the day you were conceived, that's the day you were called. This ain't just for the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and pastors and the teachers. Or the ministers and the doctors and the reverends. And the bishops and the elders. Well, it's for you. So now there's a level, listen to me, and I'm going to say this. There's a level of discipline and depth that you have to go to. And I'm over everything else. We're over everything else. No longer playing, there's some things you're going to find out you need to turn off. Because it's choking your identity. There's some conversations, some people you're going to have to cut them off for a while. Because it's choking your identity. There's some ways that you're doing things, you're going to have to change them up a little bit and focus more on what Christ is telling you about you. It's the whole thing. What are you willing to do? I got a quick question. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to put on the side for the sake of Christ's identity standing up inside of you? To really know the true you of who you really are. To really know what Jesus is saying to you about you. Anybody ever seen a miracle? Huh? How is it that we see a miracle and then we go back to where we were? Seeing we don't see. Why does generation need a sign? Ain't no sign going to be given to them. You the sign. You trying to get a sign and you are the sign. You the sign. Come on, everybody say, I am the sign.
I am the sign.
Come on, say it again, I am the sign.
I am the sign.
You're the sign. I let them seeds marinate. Amen. Amen. Ushers in our...